It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the show, Secretary of State John Kerry left Washington for Cairo this morning. We'll talk about what kind of influence the U.S. might actually have in the Middle East region. First, a new report out this month takes a detailed look at media coverage of state governments. According to the Pew Research Center, the amount of full-time reporters devoted to covering state government has dropped significantly in the last decade or so. The positions that are left may not be filled by the long-time reporters who have traditionally filled those ranks. Newspapers have been hit especially hard. Since 2003, the number of full-time State House reporters for daily newspapers has declined 35%. Less than a third of U.S. newspapers assign any kind of reporter to the state capitol at all. So, what does all this mean for our local news coverage? Is anybody stepping up to the plate to fill the gap? Joining us now is Amy Mitchell. She's Director of Journalism Research at the Pew Research Center. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Well, let's talk about the term we're working with here, state house reporters, state capitol reporters. Who qualifies and what are they tasked with doing?
So these are reporters that are sent to go physically to the state house building, to that capitol building, to report on the goings-on there. It can be legislative sessions, what's happening in terms of legislative activity, but also other activity that can occur in that building around agencies and other government offices that are housed there.
How big of a drop in full-time state house reporting jobs have we seen in the last decade or so?
Well, the comparison that we were able to do since 2003 was of newspaper reporters, as you mentioned at the opening of the segment. There hasn't actually been any full accounting of State House reporters up until now for other segments of the media. And so for us, this was really, in addition to looking at that trend in newspapers, it was also trying to get a first census of the numbers and where they're coming from in terms of the different sectors. For the cohort of newspapers that we could look at over time and compare back to some earlier research in 2003, we saw a 35% decline in full-time reporters. And that means reporters that are assigned to cover the State House throughout that year, whether the legislation is in session or not. The biggest decline occurred from 2003 to 2009 during the period of the recession when the newspapers in particular were hit really hard in terms of their budgets and their newsroom resources.
Before we get further into your findings, why is this important? Why do we need good coverage of our state capitals?
Well, you know, certainly at the state level, this is where a lot of the decision-making occurs and the laws that are and decisions that are going to affect the lives of residents in that state. That's where these kinds of things occur. It takes added weight in many cases. When you look at the gridlock in Washington, there's often now more pressure put on legislation that's occurring at the state level. If you look just at the 112th Congress, which was 2011-2012, they passed 283 bills into law. In California alone, just in 2012, they passed over 1,000 bills into law. Michigan passed 948 bills into law. About half the states passed more bills into law in 2012 alone than Congress did over that two-year period. So there's a lot that happens here. And there's questions that journalists being in the room can ask about the decisions, the conversations that are happening, the legislation at hand that otherwise may get missed if there's nobody there in that room.
If there isn't that person there in the room, what do media outlets do? Are they picking up wire services or just having somebody from their pool of reporters kind of do one-off stories?
Well, in some cases, there is wire service coverage that they can pick up and carry in their outlets, and the AP does account for a lot of that wire service coverage and activity. In addition, they may have teamed up or collaborated with another outlet, in which case, you know, we do try to give credit for those numbers that are there. But in other cases, there just may not be much coverage. They, you know, could be watching and getting the summary of decision-making or laws that got passed, writing up a summary from their desk at their news bureau, as opposed to being there as events are occurring and asking those questions that come to mind when you're following these issues day in and day out.
There have been state government reporters in the past who have literally done their job for decades and bring that kind of institutional memory. Are we losing that kind of longtime reporter who really knows the scene?
That's a lot of what we heard in the many, many interviews that we did, both with journalists, with people from these news organizations, and also from people inside the press offices or the legislative offices themselves, that that if you look over the last couple of decades, there's just this sense of loss in terms of understanding and knowledge about how these legislatures work, the kinds of questions to ask, and people that the leaders themselves know have deep knowledge about these issues and these events. One of the things that the public has indicated again and again in our survey data is that they place a very high value on the watchdog role that the media in our country play. And this, you know, clearly is a part of that, watching and asking questions. One of the other pieces of data that we were able to gather that is rather striking is that even though newspapers account for the largest portion, their numbers have declined, but now just 30% of daily papers assign any reporter. And when you look at local television, it's half as many. Only 14% of the nation's local TV stations that carry news assign even a single reporter. So there are a lot of outlets here that don't have anybody that's doing this day in and day out.
Are we seeing new non-traditional media, online in particular, filling this gap at all?
Yeah, we've certainly seen a presence, and actually when you look at the full-time reporters, non-traditional outlets account for a greater portion than do television stations. They account for 17% versus 12% for television. So they're certainly there. The Texas Tribune has one of the largest bureaus of any news organization in the country, 15 full-time and 10 students who help in the reporting that they do. There are also, in addition to nonprofits, there are commercial entities. Capital New York, which is a commercial digital-only, is the largest bureau in Albany, New York, that covers. There are ideological focused organizations as well that have gotten into the mix, something like North Carolina Policy Watch, and also many that are owned and operated by the Franklin Center, which is a more conservative operation.
So how are politicians reacting to this? Are they given an information void? Are they trying to help fill that? They and their press offices, I should say.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we certainly heard from their end a sense of frustration in the lack of coverage and you know, a longing from many that we spoke to have more journalists that were there to be able to cover what's happening. And part of what they've done in place of that, in the frustration of not having that, is to go directly, to offer direct communication. This is something that's available to many kinds of organizations now through the internet, web technologies, and app and mobile, is to go directly to individuals with your content. And we do see the legislatures themselves and the leaders taking on some of this. And in fact, when we talk with one of the people that's involved in the National Conference of State Legislatures, he spoke about how back in 2005, they used to have an annual convention where they would meet to talk about media relations. And starting in 2005, they said this group then began putting together our own newsrooms because we didn't have a lot of media relations to do because there weren't as many people that to reach out to in terms of where to go with that content. There are a couple questions that arise with this development. One is how many people actually find that information. We've seen in some of our past research that information that's posted on government websites, there aren't all that many people that know or think to go there for news and information as of yet. So it may not have the kind of reach that you would get from other traditional media. And then secondly, there's the question of the watchdog role again, of who's filtering this, who's providing the analysis or the take on the information or asking the questions about what it is that those leaders may want to put out.
We're talking with Amy Mitchell from the Pew Research Center about the changing role of the American State House reporter, the person who's at the state capitol full time, covering the legislation, the things from the governor's office all around the country. They're seeing a decline in the number of newspaper reporters and not enough in other media to really fill that gap. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think it's important to have a strong journalistic presence at the state capitol? What do you think we miss out on when we don't have one? And what do you think could be done to fill that gap in local coverage? Do you work in media? How do you see this playing out where you work? Are you on the other side of the fence? Are you a politician or a legislative staffer at the state capitol? Have you seen a decline in that familiar face, if not a friendly face, reporting there all the time? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Amy Mitchell from the Pew Research Center. We're looking at a new report they put out. It's called America's Shifting Statehouse Press. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about a decline in coverage of your state capital, your state government? Is there something about having a local reporter at your paper or TV station that can't be matched by a newswire or a press release? And what do you think could be done to fill the gap in local coverage of state government issues? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org. We'll go right to a caller now with David in Egg Harbor. Hi there, David.
Hi. My comment's just I think it is incredibly important that we have detailed local coverage at the state level. And I think if we zoom in even farther and look at the local level, chances are you can know personally all of your local politicians, and when you get to the state level, there's still a decent chance that you know the people who are in the state house, if you want to, and you can be involved. And I know there's a lot of concern with the lack of weight behind an individual voice, an individual vote at the national level. And I think the more involved we are at the local level and the state level, the more of a sort of trickle-up effect there will be in terms of having a say even up to the national level. And if there's no detailed coverage of state and even local politics, I think that not only is it bad by itself, but I think it also is symptomatic of a problem, a lack of focus by the voter at those levels where they actually could have a lot of say.
David, thanks a lot. Interesting points. Amy, he's saying what you kind of alluded to earlier. Not only is state government important, it's maybe at a level where individual people can make a difference, so all the more important that they be well-informed.
Yeah, but that's absolutely a good point to make. And, you know, it's interesting. We did a study back in 2009 that looked at the Washington Press Corps, the makeup of that press corps, and there we had very, you know, consistently sourced data over three decades' time. And what we found there was fascinating. The numbers, the total number in the press corps was pretty much the same, but the makeup of that press corps had changed dramatically, and there was a very significant decline in the representation from local and newspapers and other organizations from around the country, from the state or local level. And the increase came from foreign outlets, journalists representing foreign outlets, and those representing sort of niche and specialty kind of outlets that often carry a high subscription rate and can be business expenses and reach a very narrow audience. So we certainly saw that shift occurring at the national level. And now when you look down at the state level, one of the ways that we've seen some of these news organizations trying to, you know, figure out how to do more with less, you know, how do you have this coverage in your outlet if you don't think you can support a full staffer? We've seen some organizations where they have one paper in their state. So Illinois is an example where there's a media company that has one paper in its state in Springfield do all of the state house reporting for its 11 different news outlets in that state. So they're getting that coverage, but as David mentions, it's not quite as local in terms of the vantage and the perspective that they're bringing to it for the other cities and the other metro areas in that state.
Well, do we lose something, too, if we're letting just one outlet do all the coverage? Is there something to be said for having a few different players competing for that scoop and then maybe getting us more information that way?
Yeah, absolutely. We heard that kind of comment also, that that, you know, it used to be that if you had a story and you let the legislator know, that then there were going to be, you know, five or six different outlets that were going to be putting that story out. And nowadays, this one, you know, interview person was telling us, it's one organization. You know, what difference is it really going to make? How many people are going to get that story, et cetera? So there's not the kind of weight behind it, whether it's whether they're competing to get the scoop or whether they all have the scoop and are going to make a bigger impact by having it out in more outlets.
Looking at newspapers in particular, because there you have that decade or so worth of data, is the sense here that newspapers are cutting state government reporting and putting priorities into other things, or is this just a cut along with everything else being cut at the same time?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, and it's one that I tried to, you know, sort of be clear about in the write-up of this study. It's, you know, clearly newspapers are facing tough times. Their newsroom budgets have been slashed. They're trying to figure out how they can cover the kinds of things that they used to cover in the past, how to divvy up the smaller reporting staff that they have, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any mecca of new revenue money for in the near future anyway. So, you know, some of the questions are how do you do more than less, with less? What are the different decisions that you're making inside your newsroom? So maybe you need to cut back from 4 to 3 or from 3 to 2, but you're still keeping somebody there that's assigned to that reporter, and at the same time are keeping somebody on the education beat rather than cutting that person off. So there's certainly a balance that needs to occur, but when you have 70% of the newspapers in the country that don't have anybody that's assigned to it, you know, that's worth looking at.
I wanted to get more into the role of these nonprofit groups that are doing journalism at the national level. There are things like ProPublica. Here in Wisconsin, we have the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. How big a role do you see those kind of things playing in the future when it comes to state government reporting?
Well, they've clearly, you know, nonprofits, digital onlys have really increased and taken on a significant role of news production in our country. We did a couple of different big research projects looking at the nonprofit news sector as it's evolved and developed. And, you know, we found over 400 in the country, from the very, very small to those like ProPublica and the others that are larger. One of the challenges that the smaller outlets have faced, those that are at the state or even the, you know, local level, is twofold. It's one of reach. So in many cases, they have a staff of less than 4, and they don't, you know, so they can't produce even just the quantity of coverage to try to have that audience find them, as their traditional organizations are going to be able to, are able to do. And they also have tighter budgets in many cases and are trying to figure out how they can allocate that money. One of the areas we've seen development in over the last year and a half is collaborations between nonprofits at the state and local level and also at the national level. ProPublica does a ton of this, and with legacy outlets, where the nonprofits that don't necessarily produce a whole lot of daily content but go really, really deep into the content they do produce, or do longer-term kind of reports where it's really investigative or really digging in, working with large data sets, et cetera, they're able to collaborate with a local, with a legacy outlet, whether it's a newspaper or NPR or a television station, and in a way that those legacy outlets can carry that content. And so the legacy outlets are actually serving their audience's needs by providing that content. And the nonprofit is getting a wider reach with their byline attached as well than they would have gotten if they were just, you know, only able to use their own dissemination elements.
Do you have any prescriptions now, having done this report, to get more and better news coverage coming out of our state capitals?
Well, you know, one of the things that we hoped to do was to first just put the numbers out there. We had heard anecdotally over the last several years, people talk again and again about the declines in state house reporting. So our first mission was to be able to say, here's the state of things. Here's where things are. Here's who's doing it. Here are the numbers. Now let's talk about, you know, what can news organizations can talk about, what actions they may want to take now that this is, you know, sort of has some boundaries and some lines around it in terms of knowledge of the numbers. So there are a lot of ways that news organizations today are talking with each other, again, about collaborations, about ways to be creative that they wouldn't have done even, you know, 6 years ago, because there was that sense of, you know, real competition at the local level. And now, as one longtime journalist described, you know, we're sort of now in a group hug phase where we want to all get together and figure out how we can stay afloat, you know, and keep things going. So there are creative opportunities, and, you know, there are news organizations, both new and legacy, that are taking strides in those areas.
We'll leave it there for now. Amy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Amy Mitchell. She's Director of Journalism Research at the Pew Research Center.